Okay, good morning, ladies. I hope you all have a sidur. We're going to start. Okay. We're on page 26 in the Arutz Scroll Siddur.
Does Rav need the whiteboard?
On page 26 in the Arutz Scroll Siddur, we finished the standing blessings after a number of weeks last week. Two weeks ago when we last met, we began a little overview of this prayer. And just briefly for a minute, I'll just go over that overview where we talked about the concept. I said that the title of this entire prayer is Dignity Leads to Divinity. And we talked about how a person has to really understand who and what they are. A person should not devaluate themselves. That would cause them to not have self-esteem. We talked about the natural drives that a person has as his physical drives that could lower the esteem that a person has for himself. But rather, we should focus on the seichel, the intellect that we have, which will help us to recognize the value that we have. And this is the greatest way to fight against the Yetzer Hara. And I went into great detail on that point 2 weeks ago that I'm not going to review. But let's go over the five paragraphs that are involved, or really 6 points over here. And we'll understand each prayer, each part of this prayer, and understand what the goal of what it's trying to achieve. We're at a critical transitional point, because we're soon after this prayer we're going to move into the Korbanos, which is on page 32, which is more of a public expression of one's service to God, as opposed to what we've been doing till now, which are the blessings, which is more of a private expression of our prayer to God. So let's begin, and we'll go through very slowly, just translating the words, get a simple meaning, but we'll see the step-by-step progression that's involved. Okay, we're going to have competition today. So we start like this. We're on 26, 27, whichever one you want to look at. Le'olam yehei adam. A person should always be yirei shamayim b'seiser v'agoli. God-fearing b'seiser privately u'bagoli and in open and in public. U'moda al ames and should confess to the truth, acknowledge the truth. V'dover ames b'vavo and give over truth in his heart. V'yashkem v'yomar and should get up every day and say. So the first little paragraph here is saying that we should be emes, or a Yiddish emestik. We should be honest with ourselves. And we are in what? In terms of our fearing God. Let's be honest in terms of our understanding of what fearing God is all about. That's the first one. And every morning you should get up and say the following. Next paragraph. Ribon kol olamim, master of all the worlds. It isn't based on our righteousness that we fall before you, supplicating before you. It's not because you owe anything to us, but rather it is your abundant mercy. After all, what are we? Mechayenu, what are our lives? Mechasdenu, what is our righteousness? What is our kindness? Matzit koseinu, what is our righteousness? Ma Yeshua seinu, what is our salvation? Ma kocheinu, what is our strength? Ma gevura seinu, what is our power? Ma nomar lefanecha, what can we say before you? Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, the God of our God and the God of our fathers. Halo kol hagiborim ka'ayin lefanecha. Aren't all the warriors like nothing before you? Ve'anshei Hashem kolohoyu, and people of names, great pop, important people, they're like nothing. Ve'chachamim, the wise people, kivli mado, without intelligence. Unavonim kivli askel, similar concept, people with, wise people without great intelligence. Kirov ma'aseim to, because most of their actions are vanities and nothing. V'mechayim hevel avanecha. And the days of their lives are nothing before you. U'mosar adam min ha-behema oyin. And a person is greater than an animal. Oyin, in no way. We're not any greater than animals. Ki akol hevel, because everything is vanity and nothing. Pretty depressing, right? Pretty depressing. Yeah, Sherry, do me a favor. If you can just go to Jeff and maybe ask him if he can go upstairs, call up the superintendent and tell them, maybe they can find out where that's coming from and they maybe have a way to turn it off. No, it's just...
It's a car alarm.
It's a car?
Yeah.
So does anybody have a car with an alarm? Well, let's put it this way. It's going to go on for an hour. Okay. So you know what? So... One second. Let's just... Okay. Next paragraph. So what is this paragraph said? That basically this paragraph is saying, if we look at our natural selves, there's nothing special. You have nothing to have any reason for self-esteem. There's no reason for these things. These things have no reason for self-esteem. Your strength, your intelligence, and all these things, that's nothing at all. There's no reason to have self-esteem for that at all. The answer is very obvious, because God gave it to you. So you're smart. So you thought of something very intelligent, very nice. What did you do? All you did is what God gave you to do. And of course that's what you're supposed to do. Right? You did kindness? Of course, God made you a kind person. You did kindness. So what else is new? You really have accomplished nothing in your life. Don't worry, we're not finished. We will get you out of this. But you see a lot in the words of the rabbis. They always love to play with contrast. Get you all upset. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm nothing? No, you're nothing. You're not more than an animal. Okay, but hang on. Next paragraph gets us out of this mess a little bit. So that's in general. If we come to you the way we are, Hashem, we have nothing, no cause that you should be listening to us. Aval, next paragraph. Aval, but, big but. Anachnu, we are Amcha, your nation. B'nei V'risecha, the children of your covenant. B'nei Avram, Ohavcha, Shenishbata lo Bahar Maria, the children of Avram, your beloved. That you swore to him at Mount Moriah. Zera Yitzchak Yechido, the descendants of Yitzchak, his only son, Shenekar al Gav HaMizbech, who was brought for an offering on top of the altar. Adas Yaakov Bincha Bechorecha, the congregation of Yaakov, your son, your firstborn. Shemei Ahav Oscha, that from your love that you had, Shahafto so, that you loved Yaakov. And your joy that you rejoiced in him, in Yaakov, as evidenced by the fact that Karasa Eshemo Yisrael Vishurun, that you called him Yisrael and you called him Yishurun. I'm glad you, I guess, didn't know that Yaakov was known by Yishurun. So now the second paragraph says, but if we do have any reason to have self-esteem, let's understand where it comes from. Our uniqueness and our self-esteem comes because we're Jewish. We're the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And what that is exactly, we will still have to explain. I'm just going simple, just going over the thing on a very simple level. So we have what, if you do want a good self-esteem, it's because we're the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we see that God has this exceptional love for Yaakov. Hashem seems to have had a special simcha with Yaakov to the extent that he called him Yisrael and Yishurun. That needs a little bit of explanation. But let's move on. Lefikach, therefore, now that we understand where our sense of self should come from, and now we know who we are and what we are, which still has to be explained, but Anachnu chayovim lehodosacha. We are obliged. Not that it's a nice thing and a cute thing and I'm doing beyond the call of duty. I am obliged. We are obliged. Lehodosacha, to give praise to you. L'shabechecha, to thank you and to praise you. Ulefoerech, and glorify you. Ulevorech, and to bless. Ulekadesh, and to sanctify. V'losei shevech v'odor l'shmech, and to bring praise and thanksgiving to your name. We're obliged to do that. Ashreinu, how fortunate are we. Matov chalkeinu, how good is our portion. Oh, such beautiful words, just simple words. Umanoim goraleinu, and how pleasant is our portion, is our lot. Umayofa Yerushaseinu, and how good is our inheritance. Ashreinu, we are fortunate. Shanachnu mashkimim marivim, we get up early and we stay up late. Erev vavoker, evening and morning. Ve'omrim pamayim, we say twice. Bechol yom. Next page. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You see, first of all, just simple. You know, you're fortunate and you're so lucky that you get to say Shema twice a day. Not, oh, I have to say Shema. It's lucky because we're the descendants of Yaakov and Avraham Yitzchak. We're so lucky and fortunate to say Shema. And then when after you say Shema, you always say Baruch Shem Kavod Machusoli Olam Vaed. Then you can skip the next paragraph, Ahavta. And then we go to the next paragraph, which is the closer. Atahu Atshalon Ivralam Hashem, you were there before the world was created. Atahu Mishin Ivralam, and you're there after it's been created. Atahu Olam Hazeh, you are around in this world. Atahu Olam Abo, you're going to be in the next world. You're always around. And therefore, what our blessing is, Kadesha Shimcha Makdishei Shemecha, sanctify your name through those who sanctify your name, meaning us. The Kadesha Shimcha Bilamecha, and let your name be sanctified in your world. Uvishuascha Torim Visagbi. Pronounce that now. No, Sagbi. You'll be trusting me too much, ladies. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to teach you how to read a word because everyone reads this word incorrectly. Where is smack in the middle of the page, right before Atahu, two lines up. Okay, not pronounced ha, but pronounced ah. Okay, it's a patach genuva, a stolen patach. So everybody mispronounces it. In Hallel, they mispronounce it. It's sagbi ah. Not sagbi ha, all right. So it's a good thing if you notice your kids. You ask your kids how they read this word. You'll see if they had good teachers that were careful about that. All right. So or maybe they just weren't listening. Okay. V'sagbi ah karneinu. You should through your salvation may you exalt and raise your pride. Baruch ato Hashem, bless you Hashem mikadesh Hashimcha barabim, who sanctifies your name in public. So this last paragraph says, you know, we hope that we're able to make a Kiddush Hashem for you, to sanctify your name. So let's just quickly go over to six pieces, and now we're going to have to try to make some sense out of all this. The first paragraph said, you got to be an emistika person. You got to be a truthful person, public and private, number one. Number two, you should get up every morning and say, you know, based on what I have, I'm nothing. But, paragraph three, but because I'm a Jew, and a descendant of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, oh, and Yaakov was called this and that. Oh, that's what defines me. And therefore, paragraph four, I'm obligated to praise God and thank God and sanctify Him. I've a mission to do because I'm so special. I have this unbelievable mission. And how fortunate we are that we do what? Next part, Shema Yisrael. And then finally we say, you know, Hashem, I hope we're able to make the Kiddush Hashem for you that is required. All right? So we start with this idea of fearing God publicly and privately. This idea of not having a false understanding of what our greatness is, but rather our greatness lies in the fact that we are Jewish people. And because of this, we should be so thankful to you that we have what to do with our lives. You know, we have what to do with our lives. Other people don't have what to do with their lives. They're bored. What do? They come home from work. What do? Got to keep myself busy. Right? So whatever nourish kate they keep us all. But we don't have to worry. We always have what to do. Right? And the greatest way is saying Shema. Right? And ultimately the last paragraph. And our role is to do Kiddush Hashem. Our role is to sanctify God's name. So this is the very simple way of understanding it. Yes? There were six paragraphs. Six points. Point one, but I can't speak as slowly as you write. So the six paragraphs. Paragraph one is be truthful in private and public in terms of being God-fearing. Point two, don't go with a false sense of identity based on strength and wealth and power and smartness, etc. Paragraph three, understand your real identity is as a Jew, descendant of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Right? And fourth paragraph, therefore we have plenty to praise and sanctify, and we should feel so fortunate that we are able to, for example, moving into paragraph five, say the Shema, and that's a saying of the Shema. And number six, we focus on, and our job is for this day, is to do Kiddush Hashem, sanctify God's name. Those are the 6 points. Yeah? So what happened with that? So that's why, if you notice, at the end of the paragraph, or the end of the third paragraph, we talk about the love that Hashem had for Yaakov and the joy that he had for him because he called him Yisrael and Yeshurun. And that needs to be explained, and that will answer your question, and that will happen at the very end of the class. Okay? As things are prepared, that's the last point I want to get to. So let's start at the beginning, which is always a good place to start, right? What's this idea of God-fearing in public and God-fearing in private? So the Chovas Halvavas talks about many of the tricks that the Yetzer Hara does with us. He has all kinds of tricks, and we're doing this on Monday nights. And amongst the many tricks, he's two that seem to be opposites. On the one hand, the Yetzer Hara says, you know, you should let everybody know how great you are. Publicize everything you do. Everyone should know you're a big tzaddik. You know, put it out in the open for everybody to know. And that's a trick, because therefore you're really serving God, not for God, but for the honor and the glory. So you got to avoid that. And he talks about how you avoid it. And then later on he says, the other Yeshua is going to say, you know what? You shouldn't let anybody know what you're doing. Don't let anybody, make on the outside look like a schmo. So don't have the slightest idea you're, but inside, you're going to be unbelievable. But and therefore, don't go to Minyan, don't go to Shul, don't let them think you're a nothing. You know, even speak with vulgar, have company of not such good people. People think you're really not such a great person. But inside, you cry for the Beis HaMikdash and everything, and unbelievable, you know. And he says that's not good either, because those outward negative things in public will affect you as well. So that's just as an introduction, where he gets now to the ultimate question that everybody asks. If that's the case, so what should I do privately and what should I do publicly? Right? It seems to be a little bit of a, well, am I supposed to outwardly act like a Jew? Well, on the other hand, I'm going to start to boast and showing up. Where do I draw the line between showing off my Judaism when I do it publicly and what do I cover up? How do I understand to strike that balance? That's a very important question. Because we know the prophet says, in a general sense, "Hatznei alecha sim Hashem Elokecha," walk modestly with God. And there is a concept, you know, you don't wear your religion on your sleeve. You don't let everybody know how religious you are. But the other hand, if you don't, then how's anybody going to know to act religious? So that's the conundrum you always find yourself in. So the Chovas Halvavos gives us a few rules over here. And he says the following. You'll see how this relates very much to this prayer here. He says, so which good actions may one do secretly? So he says, only the ones that can be done perfectly from beginning to end without requiring people's knowledge. If I can do the mitzvah 100% perfect and nobody needs to be involved, those are the ones I should do privately. But those that it's not possible to do privately, then I have to do publicly. We'll give you some examples. Let's say for a man. We'll give one for a man. Davening in a minyan. A man has to daven in a quorum. It's not a nice thing to do. It's an obligation. So guess what? You can't daven in a minyan at home. You've got to at least let 9 other guys know you're doing it. Because otherwise, I'm going to daven at home. I got a picture of the Kotel in my house. I feel very spiritual and this, that. Doesn't matter. You can only daven with a minion with a minion. So guess what? 9 guys are going to need to know that you're davening in a minion. That's it. You don't have a choice. If you could do it without a minyan, fine, but you can't. Or how about learning Torah? Learning Torah, I know with the internet and everything, but we know the best way you learn Torah is in a group. You hear, you can question, you can ask back and forth. Learning Torah is not something generally that should be done privately. Not to say there's sometimes you need to review and collect your thoughts, and you can do that privately, but generally speaking, you know, great people don't become great in their Torah learning, or even average people become knowledgeable in Torah learning, unless they do it in some kind of a public setting, at least with a chavrusa. There's got to be another person involved. The whole process of Torah is mesorah, giving it over. A teacher, student, back and forth. You can't learn Torah privately. These people who say, you know, I'm very knowledgeable about Judaism. You know, a person who's ignorant, right, and wants to, and they start surfing the web and they get to Jewish sites, it's dangerous because they don't know what's the kosher stuff, the not kosher stuff, and they extrapolate beyond what's reasonable. And you have to have someone to talk it through and explain. It's not possible. Or let's say chesed, kindness. It's impossible to do kindness without somebody knowing about it, because usually there's a recipient of the kindness. Okay, you could hide it a little bit, but generally speaking, you need to get people involved. When you're doing chesed projects, you want to give out mishloach manos to the poor that we did. I don't think one person could have done the whole thing by themselves. You got to get the kids involved. There's a lot of steps involved. So certain chesed things, you know, you're going to need another person. So those are things that are hard to... How about the mitzvah of lovingly correcting someone who's making a mistake? I emphasize lovingly. Right? You see your friend is doing something wrong and you know it's not a good thing, and if no one tells that person, very simple, you went to your friend's house, it was Shabbos, and they didn't realize that how they warmed up the food wasn't correct on Shabbos. They didn't know. So if you don't tell them, they're going to keep doing this wrong thing every week. So you love them and you're going to want to correct them. So you can't do that without them knowing it. You got to talk to them. But any mitzvah, right? So, but other things that don't need somebody else's involvement, you could do it by yourself. Kol hakavod, do it by yourself. You want to have the best hechsher possible on your food. You want to be very strict. Beyond what is necessary. It's fine, you're allowed to do it. Don't have to tell anybody you do it. Well, I got something with 4 hechshers on it, and I paid $3 more. Fine, good. You do it. You do it. Nobody has to know what you're doing, right? You want it. You like to say the whole book of Tehillim every day. Very nice. Very nice thing to do. Nobody needs to know that you say the whole book of Tehillim every day. You cry for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash every night at midnight. Very nice. Nobody has to know. There's a lot of things that people need not know, or you know, on a simple level, you. Even to your spouse, you don't have to tell everything. You know, sometimes, on rare occasion, you know, a husband will come into the house, on rare occasion, and the kitchen's up is sloppy. Whatever. The wife was in a rush, she couldn't clean it up, and when she's gonna come back, there's gonna be an hour of work to do. So you know what, there's no problem, you know, and the wife's very busy, she doesn't even realize she left the mess, but she'll realize at 12 o'clock at night, she'll come back and see a heck of a mess. So if you're the husband walking in, you know she forgot. Clean it up, and you don't have to tell her you did it. You know, yeah. You might want to. Oh, I'm doing it because I want to score points. She owes me one, and this and that. But a real tzaddik wouldn't tell his wife he did it. You know, let's say the bank calls. You get a call, and the bank account's overdrawn. And you find out, let's say it was your husband who wrote the check that overdrew the bank, Ichveis, and now you're going to have to go in, you have to talk and make a deposit and this and that. So you could call up your husband and tell him the whole problem, and, you know, and you just take care of it, and he doesn't even know what happened. You know, and you don't have to tell him. Not everything you have to tell. And those things, and you'll see in a minute why. It's very important. Very important. And therefore, That's the general rule of thumb. If it has to be done publicly, try your hardest. Try your hardest to do it for the sake of God. And if people start noticing what you're doing, it ignore the praise, ignore the honor, right? You're not thinking about it, and just pretend it ain't there. That's the general rule of thumb. So now the Chovas HaVavas asks, So how do we know when you're doing it publicly, you're doing it for the sake of God or not? How do we know? What's the litmus test? You're going to say, oh, I'm doing it for the sake of God. But how do you know that you're not leaving tracks and you're not inside welling up and say, oh, I'm so wonderful that I'm doing it for the sake of God? How can you be honest with yourself? So he gives a two-tiered test. Okay? Ask yourself two questions. If you pass both questions, you know it's the same Shemayim. Question number one. Clarify in your mind, what reward are you expecting for what you are doing publicly and from whom? So, you went and the husband went and cleaned up the messy kitchen. And let's say his wife is going to have to know about it. For whatever. For some reason, she will know about it. Or you have to go out and help with a chesed project. And people are going to know about it. Okay, so now let's say it's a case you have to give tzedakah to somebody and they're going to see you're giving it to them. That's the only way it comes out. And it has to be that way, right? So now, who are you expecting to get the reward from? From God or from the person who saw that? A. B. What reward are you looking for? Well, from God, I want to be close to God and all those nice things. Oh, the other person, they'll think I'm a tzaddik. And I like more. Wouldn't you like a lot of people to know that you're a tzaddik? Wouldn't you like this? That feels good. That was amazing. We just want to call to say you're a tzaddik. You know, and it was amazing. I don't know if anybody else could have done that. Right? And you like that. Or you have one of these IOUs that will one day be cashed. You know, I really went out of my way. I felt so good about it. And Mrs. So-and-so knows how good I am. And one day, you never know, she'll help me too. So you got to ask yourself, honestly, what reward are you looking for and from whom? But even that, we could fool ourselves. But that's only question one. So let's assume you say, oh, it's for Hashem. Oh, yes, because the rabbi said it's for Hashem. And I just want to be close to Hashem. So now we come to question two. Question two is, the act you just did, would you do that act in the exact same way if nobody was looking? Would you do it exactly the same way if nobody was looking? So let's say you're davening in shul, you know, and there's a lot of people in shul, and they're watching, and you give a good chuckle, and you get into the rapture, you know, and Now, would you do the exact same thing if you were alone at home? Would you do the exact same way? If you're cleaning up for somebody's floor or you're helping them out, but and the person's watching, so you know you did really well. You did even the little corners, and because they're going to know how good a job. But if no one will know you did it, are you going to make? Would you have done it exactly in that wonderful, beautiful way? If you would do it less than that, then you know that you lied in the first question. Because if nobody is watching, just Hashem, now if you're doing it for Hashem, you're going to do it the same way no matter what. But if you're doing it for any other kind of honor, then when nobody's watching, you're certainly not going to do it the same way you're doing it. Right? And he continues and says, so if you would have done it privately in the same way, good, keep doing it publicly. It won't affect you in any way possible. But if not, if you want us to say, I wouldn't do it the same way, then that's a bad sign, and you really should stop doing it publicly, because until you purge all the wrong thoughts that come out of you because of this. Because all you're doing is building up your false sense of ego, because you're not doing it for the right reasons. Okay, this is very deep stuff, because halavai, we should do mitzvahs at all. But the Chovas Avos says there's deeper ways. This is all the concept in the fifth chapter of Chovas Avos. It's called Yichud HaMaisa, doing things wholeheartedly for God and for no other reason. It's a very, very important level to reach. Okay, is this clear? Questions? Yeah?
That's a good question.
Yeah?
In terms of chinuch, like a lot of times...
That was the next thing I was going to get to. So in a practical sense, you... Of course, in front of your children, you have to publicly do these things, because that's something you can't teach your children unless it's in a public way, public me and you. So your kid's there. So when you're at the table, at the dinner table, yes, you make a bracha loud and clear, because then your child will copy what you're doing and making brachas loud and clear. When a mashulach comes to the door and gives tzedakah, take the opportunity to show your child, look, Moishi, there's a poor man at the door. Come here and watch. See, Abba gives a check. Abba smiles. Abba says, Shalom Aleichem, have hatzlacha. You should do the same thing when you grow up. Your children should see everything you do, because that's the only way you can teach them. So chinuch is education is a public mitzvah that cannot be done privately, vis-a-vis you and your children. You don't have to let the whole world know. Oh, the whole world, take a look and see how I am educating my child. No, but your children should all know in that realm, outside of you and God, your children should know what you give for tzedakah or what you do in any mitzvah that you do. They should see that. It has to be that way. Or, let's say you want to encourage not just your children, but you want to encourage a community. Let's say, you know, there's a tzedakah project going on. So a person would like to give anonymously. Generally speaking, it's better to give anonymously than publicly. Generally speaking, that's a much better thing to do. But if a few people give anonymously, then people think nobody's giving. And if people think nobody's giving, then nobody gives. That's the way human nature is. There's a certain amount of pressure that has to happen for certain people to give. So if it's necessary, sometimes you're giving, let's say, $1,000 donation, whatever, and the cause needs the money, then there's a place to publicly say, I'm giving $1,000 and he's giving $1,000. What are you giving? You know what I'm saying? Because then when people see others are giving, people will do it. That's the way human nature is. Unfortunately, if that's a situation that would require others to give because they know people are giving, that's the way it is with anything else. You know, who's going to this Malava Mako? I don't know. Is anybody interesting going? You know, that's the way we are. I don't want to do things different than everybody else. So the people who are doing real good mitzvahs, and you want other people to be doing that same mitzvah, then it's a place to do a public as well. But you always got to be careful that you're doing it l'shem shamayim. Right? So this begins to explain what the first line is saying. A person should be God-fearing in private and publicly. You see? Because we at the end of the day, there's things we're going to have to do publicly, there's things we have to do privately. And we have to make sure that both of them are in sync, and therefore, umodal ames, and you admit to the truth, v'dover ames bovavo, and say over the truth in your heart. In other words, there's a simple expression of that, you know, saying something and meaning another. But in mitzvah observance, it's the same thing. Outwardly doing a mitzvah, but inside meaning something else. You going giving tzedakah publicly. Wonderful. So that looks like a wonderful thing. But in the inside, you're doing it just for the honor and just for the tax receipt. And that's the only reason you're doing it. And if no covenant, no tax receipt, you don't get my donation next year. So you're not doing it for Hashem. You're doing it for another reason. So then you're not being honest with yourself and with anybody else. And therefore, your outward mitzvah observance has to parallel the inner dedication you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How will we know that? We'll know that by what you do inside. And that's the idea. Be God-fearing on the privately and publicly. Not one or the other. You need both. There are mitzvahs that need to publicly be done, but how are we going to know that that's the proper way? Because how would you do it when you're doing it privately? That's the way it has to be done. Okay, this is a critical thing at this point, because we're finishing the brachos, we finish the bribe, and that's generally was always done at home. Right? It's more your private stuff. When you're going to get the korbanot, that's already for shul. So now we're transitioning between home and shul. So this prayer is bridging that gap and saying, you know, you're about to get into the public forum. You're going to be praying with a minion. You're going to be out there. Don't be a phony. Be as sincere as you were when you were before, when you're saying the private blessings in your house. Right? Did you mean them, really? Did you say those private blessings in the house the same way you're going to be saying it in shul? And obviously prayer is just one aspect of everything we're going to be doing during the day. Right, the korbanos that we're going to get to, that was a service that was done in the temple area. Remember, in the main courtyard, where everybody sees what's going on. So when prayer is just, replicating these concepts. Since we're moving ahead in prayer, what the rabbi is saying, be honest with what the mitzvahs you're doing and have sincerity that's deep inside. And there's ways to tell what it is. And that's why it's interesting, you know, the source of this Shema that we say. Now, people ask, well, is this, can I fulfill my mitzvah of saying the Shema with this reading of the Shema? So really, this isn't the main Shema, as we all know. The main Shema is much later on in the davening, to fulfill that obligation of accepting the yoke of Hashem upon you. So where does this prayer come from? So the answer is, there were certain times in our Jewish history where the churches forbade the Jewish people to say the Shema in public. So what happened was, so you know, the police would say, well, when did the Jews say Shema? Well, you know, davening starts at 9 o'clock, till they don't get to the Shema till 10 o'clock. So the police knew, okay, we'll come in at 9:45, and that's when we'll check to see if they say the Shema or not, if they're obedient or not. So Jews were smarter. So what do? So this part of the davening is after, in the first 10 minutes in shul. So right away, at 5, 10 minutes after 9, boom, they said the Shema before they came. Or, alternatively, they said it at home before they came to shul. And then they wanted to fulfill the mitzvah. It was really to fulfill, because when they came later on in davening, where it was the real time for Shema, they couldn't say it. So it's very interesting why this Shema is a kind of a unique Shema. It's the kind of Shema that essentially was the Shema that you said at home. In shul, everybody, you know, in Shabbos, Shema Yisrael, everybody gets into it. Who knows what's in your brain when you're saying it? Right? Who knows if there's a lot of sincerity going on when you're in public? But when you're at home, then we'll know. Do you say the Shema the same way? Or no? Or do you really put everything you can put into the Shema? So you see by the nature of this tefillah of the Shema, that it was something that was taken away from the public realm and put into the private realm. And one could think, why God does that to the Jewish people? One could think, why would God cause certain decrees to be upon us unless perhaps we were not living up to this standard that was necessary? And God says, maybe it's time you started working on it on a private level a bit. So even though that decree no longer exists anymore, but the rabbis felt it's important to leave this, to always remember this idea. Number one, to never feel so secure wherever you are in Galus, A. And B, to remember that really the Shema was said at home privately. And let's make sure that you do it privately in the most wonderful way. Okay, so that's this concept. It also takes us towards the concept of Kiddush Hashem. So let's talk about a very beautiful piece from Rav Dessler. Very beautiful piece from Rav Dessler. Yeah?
It sounds like you're telling people not to sort of fake it till you make it. I thought it was always encouraging to become like that. Now you're saying...
There's a concept of faking till you make it, but fake it internally. Fake it at home as much as possible. But to some point, you know, there's always the faking part, but if you realize you're a faker, then don't provid shtick. Don't give exceptional expressions of your behavior that don't really parallel what you're really feeling. All right? Of course, and realize you're the faker, but generally we don't have to worry about these issues. Generally, you can do all that faking at home. Do the faking at home till you're ready to do it. Okay? So Rav Dessler says some beautiful stuff here. He has an idea on Kiddush Hashem. He calls Kiddush Hashem Amiti Umeduma. True Kiddush Hashem and imaginary Kiddush Hashem. And this is really what this verse, this whole section is leading us up to. It's leading us up to what is the ultimate reason why I am praying. I am praying ultimately to produce Kiddush Hashem. That's what I am as a Jew, to produce Kiddush Hashem. What's important to be able to do Kiddush Hashem? You'll see how this prayer gets us to get the right kind of Kiddush Hashem. So what does Kiddush Hashem mean and how do we make a Kiddush Hashem? Some of you, if you were in religious schools, you remember when we would go out to the planetarium before we got onto the bus, the principal, vice principal walked onto the bus. Remember, you're Jewish boys, you're going with kippahs, you're going to the street with the non-Jews, and remember how you act is going to either make a Kiddush Hashem or a Chilul Hashem. If you're going to act and behave nicely, they're going to say, oh, what beautiful Jewish boys. It must be there's a wonderful God, and this is a good display of Jews. And if you're going to run around like Meshuggahs and all this, they're going to think Jews are terrible. And that's what we thought Kiddush Hashem was. Okay, for our level, it was probably appropriate. But we got to grow up a little more and understand what Kiddush Hashem really is. So Rav Dessler comments and he says, you know, every activity and every level that we reach, he says, the more that it is hidden, the level that we achieve, the more we keep it to ourselves. And any mitzvah we do, the more we keep it to ourselves, there's more hope that it will be honest and sincere. And he says, and whatever has to be done externally, it's more likely it will be mixed in with shelo lishma, not for the right reasons. That's a general rule of thumb, which is consistent with what the Chovas HaLevavos says. We're talking about proclivity. If you're doing something at home, there's very little likelihood that it's not emes, because you're not doing it for anybody. If you're doing a mitzvah at home, we could be pretty... At home.
If you're doing it at home, there is more likelihood that it will be emes.
Isn't that what I said?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Good. So, if you're doing it at home, it's much more likely you're going to be emes. It's honest and sincere. If you're doing that in public, there is a greater likelihood that insincerity is going to crop up for the reasons we've talked about. So therefore people, they have this drive for the big mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. I want to do a Kiddush Hashem. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do something. Everybody's going to see that and it's going to sanctify God's name. So says Rav Dessler, the golden rule in Kiddush Hashem, first rule in Kiddush Hashem, is what? That the first efforts we have to make is to reach the level of Kiddush Hashem within ourselves and for ourselves. That's the first step in being a person that does Kiddush Hashem. That's the first thing you have to do. And therefore, what does Kiddush Hashem really mean? Kiddush Hashem, let's look at the opposite, and you'll understand. The opposite is Chilul Hashem. What does Chilul mean? So we say desecration. That's not the real translation. It's what comes out of it, but that's a real. Chilul comes from the word chalal, which means a vacuum. Chilul Hashem means you are acting in a way as if God's in a vacuum. He's not there. You're acting in a way that does not acknowledge that you are acting in God's presence. I'm here, God ain't. That's why I do what I do. You know, I just went and held up money from the bank. That's a Chilul Hashem, because if I knew God was here, I wouldn't do it. I act in a way as if God's not here. He's gone. Chalal is a vacuum. Kiddush Hashem means the exact opposite. I'm acting with the acknowledgement that God is right here. We always act differently when God is here or not. How do you act when the boss is in the office, when the boss is not in the office? How do you act? You know, a lot of times, you know, after davening, guys are eating breakfast, I'm in here. If I walk by and they're laughing at this, and I walk by, boom, end of the party. End of the party. The rabbi's here, ugh. It's like, unbelievable. I don't eat breakfast with them. Once I ate breakfast with them, there was no word the whole breakfast.
That's
what
you told him not to eat.
No.
It's because you talked
that it's... No, whatever it is. So I don't eat breakfast with them anymore. They can't enjoy themselves if I'm there. Fine. That's the way it is, you know. Believe me, you know, all of us fall in talking Lashon Hara. But if the Chafetz Chaim was in the room next to you, you wouldn't be talking Lashon Hara. For sure you wouldn't. Believe me, most of you probably speed, but when there's a cop there, all of a sudden you're not speeding, right? So if you knew that God is mamish here, then you act a certain way. When you act that way, that's called Kiddush Hashem. Because everyone knows, this guy's acting unbelievable. Why? Because he knows he's in God's presence. The truth is, so where is God's presence if not everywhere? So, in front of 10,000 people, I'm going to act like a tzaddik. I want to sanctify God's name. But what about at home? So the ultimate, the first stage of developing Kiddush Hashem is, Rav Dessler says, is in the privacy of your own home. You're eating breakfast and you have an option to chveis, whatever, to read the Toronto Star or to have a little safer open in front of you. Whatever. It's between you and nobody knows. Nobody's in the room. You're having breakfast. But are you eating breakfast as if God's in the room or if God's not in the room? Or you have the radio on, you're listening to talk show hosts that don't exactly live as if God's in their studio and they just share it with you. So what do you do in the privacy of your own home? Do you acknowledge God's presence or not? And nobody needs to know about that. No one ever needs to know about it. make room for God. Is there a vacuum of God in your heart, in your house? Or is God in your heart, in your house? That's the first thing you have to work on. He proves that from a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara says, anyone has the opportunity to learn Torah and doesn't, and this is talking about privately, for him the verse that says, the word of God has been despised, is applicable to him. Because you could, yeah, you have some free time. What do you do with your free time? Watch TV or learn some Torah? Right? So if you, and you have the opportunity to learn Torah. It's not like it's hard to learn Torah. And you could do this. So he's saying, the Iker Kiddush Hashem, the main Kiddush Hashem, he says, is to repair the Chilul Hashem that's inside each and every one of us. Right? The natural tendency of man is to kick God out of his life because we like to have independence. Human beings like to be independent, right? So naturally, we all live in a state of Chilul Hashem. We have to work on putting Kiddush Hashem into ourselves. That's step number one. Now, after you get to that level, now you're ready to go public. Okay? Because you've already shown to us that what's private is really important to you. And then the main mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem publicly is in front of 10 Jews. That's the real mitzvah, the Rambam says. That's the public display of Kiddush Hashem. Right? And that's the mitzvah of sanctifying God's name, and that's how you fulfill that mitzvah in a little broader way. So you write a lot of checks to tzedakah privately. You get all these mailings. It's beautiful. Nobody knows. You get all these tzedakah checks now. It's adar, right? In the mail. You write $18 here, $18 there. No plaques, no honor, no nothing. Beautiful. Now you're in shul, and in front of the shul, and they're running a tzedakah campaign. Now go say, you know, $100. And people can know about it. Why? Because you've already made room for Hashem in your private life. So Hashem's going to be there when you're public as well. And then the highest level, when the honor of God is so important to you that you give all your effort to sanctify God's name, even in front of the non-Jews of the world, because you love Hashem so much that you want the world to recognize Hashem. And that's the level of the rabbi of the Talmud, Rabbi Shimon ben Shattach. Rabbi Shimon ben Shattach bought a donkey from a goy, from a non-Jew, and he comes home, and his student says, Rebbe, take a look. Next to the cow, next under his neck, there's a diamond. Your lucky day, Hashem must... I said donkey, under the donkey's neck. Cow, donkey, who cares? The donkey's neck was a diamond. Was a diamond. And Rebbe, it's your lucky day, Hashem is blessed. He says, what are you talking about? Go back and return it back to the non-Jew. So they go back, and he's non-Jew. We're not talking about the president of Bavel. We're talking about some schlepper drunk, who simple non-Jew, no, nobody special, so to speak. The diamond comes back, and the non-Jew says, blessed is the God of Shimon ben Shattach. Right? Meaning to say, so what did Rabbi Shimon ben Shattach understand? That this whole world isn't worth 1 minute of a non-Jew saying, blessed is the God of Shimon ben Shattach. And it was all for God's honor. You can imagine, what would he have done with that money? He could have given a lot of tzedakah with that money. According to halacha, he was not obliged to give it back to the non-Jew. You're not allowed to steal from a non-Jew, but if a non-Jew makes a mistake, you're not obliged to give it back to him. According to the letter of the law, you don't have to give it back to him. That's the halacha. For various reasons we can't get into now. But if you want to make a Kiddush Hashem, you give it back. You can figure, Shimon Shattach, if he would have taken that time and sold it, he could have maybe supported a koil for a week. Could have supported a learning Torah for a week. No, isn't that more pragmatic? But the point, that's not. What he was so close to Hashem, he says, the best thing is that the rest of the world should know how great Hashem is. How do they know that? You see a Jew who follows God's Torah. This Shimon Shattach lives with God in his life. Human beings can reach unbelievable levels. And that was worth everything to him. But he was doing it for Hashem's honor. That's the progression it has to go. You find a lot of times people say, you know, we got to do this, we got this, we got to show the world. We got to have chutzpah and show the world that Jews can make it, this and that and everything else. And they'll write books and make a lot of money and be popular speakers in the non-Jewish world. But the bottom line is, where's Hashem in your life? And Rav Dessler ends and says a beautiful, observation. He says, how come we find in ourselves that the order is the opposite? We're told the order is, start with the Kiddush Hashem in your own life, then move up to Kiddush Hashem amongst Jews, and then move up to Kiddush Hashem amongst non-Jews. Why do we find that it's the opposite? that we all want to start by making Kiddush Hashem in front of the non-Jews. And the last stop is in our own life. He says, that's his observation. So, and he asks, he says, isn't it true that the main will is to sanctify God's name before the nations and not before the Jews? And certainly not in ourselves. So why is that? So he answers in the name of Rav Yisrael Salanter, the great leader of the Musar movement. He says, I'll say it in Hebrew and I'll say it in English. Ki ha'adam choshev shemekadei shem shemayim. The person thinks he's sanctifying God's name. Avo be'emes. But the truth is, hu rodef acher kiddush shem atzmo. He is running after sanctifying his own name. That's the problem. And that's why we find this whole idea, this strong desire of kavod Yisrael in front of the non-Jews. We got to show the non-Jews that we're Jews, and we're proud of Jews, and we have to show them. And Rav Dessler says, what is this? It's our own covenant. It's not Hashem's covenant. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, it's why it's a fine line. Only great rabbis can say these things. Me and you couldn't say these things. Rav Dessler was an unbelievable thinker, unbelievable tzaddik. He understood what really going on. When you get certain movements within the Jewish people that are there, we're going to show the non-Jews how good we are. We have... You know, never will the non-Jews be able to do this to us and all these things. You've got to be careful what is the motivation behind that. And the leaders of those organizations that say, you know, we have to show the Arabs that we're not afraid of. I'm not saying yes or no, but you've got to be awfully careful to know, is it because it's your own covenant that you're trying to push, or is it God's covenant you're trying to push? You find most people like to make very big public displays. Let the non-Jews know everything. But if you're not starting the reverse, then you're in big trouble, because it'll never get to the private domain. And all this is kiddush of your own name and not kiddush of Hashem's name. So therefore, when we're starting off our day, and the whole business we have of being in this world is to sanctify God's name. That's why we're here. That's what God put us in this world. But on the other hand, there's a lot of us invested in this. So what are we going to do about this? So what the Chovas Havavos is saying, what Rav Dessler is saying, the same thing. He says you got to start it inside. You got to really work on yourself inside. That I'm doing it just for Hashem. I'm doing it just for Hashem. There's no other reason why I'm doing it. And work at home to make your home be a place of Kiddush Hashem. You know, so often in public we're wonderful, nice people. At home we're rotten to our children, to our spouses, not as good as we could be, because Hashem's not really in my house. He's only out in the shul. The shul, this is where, oh, it's a holy place. Hashem's over here. Okay, I got to be very careful what I say. Right? But at home, I don't have to. It's verkehrt. You have to start in the house, because that's where the real Shekhinah is. The real Shekhinah is in your house. And you have to bring God into your house and make it appear in your house. Then, when you've gotten it clear, I do it, and I do it perfectly, and I will, just for Hashem, then I don't have to worry about anybody else. And that's what one of the Hasidic masters here says, a very interesting piece. Very interesting. We're not going to get to your question this week, Gail. It's going to have to go to next week, because I see there's more than one. He said a very beautiful piece, the Arve Nachal. He talks about this really, based on the Chovas Halvavos, he says there's really three levels that we're dealing with over here. You have the down the middle, the balanced approach, which we explained, is to hide your good deeds from people as much as possible to avoid the war with your own Yetzer Hara. That's trying you to glorify yourself, which is terrible. We try to cover as much as possible. And things I have to do public, I have to do in public. Then you got people, he says, on a lower level, that even when they do mitzvahs privately, they try to leave enough tracks that everybody will know what they're doing privately. In other words, even when I'm doing something privately, I give enough hints to people. You know, oh, you know, I was home, I was doing, you know, you just mentioned, you tell people the private thing he's doing. Oh, I told you that? Oh, I'm sorry. But very cleverly, you know. Yeah, lots of shalom. You know, you did 7 shalom. I did 78 shalom. You know, well, I didn't see. You know. So you let it leak out. Leak it to the press. You know. And people will hop. You know. And there's really cunning ways to do it. You don't tell people, but you leave enough tracks that people can realize this person must have done this and that and everything else. And that's the worst. Because not only, you don't want the private to become public. And then he says, what's the highest level? He used an expression, Asher habayis hamole, where you're doing something in a full house, kilo mole, but in your eyes it's like it's empty. In other words, you should be able to act when you're in a big room and you're doing something, as far as you're concerned, there's nobody in the room. You know why? Because it's just full with Hashem. Now, you know that can happen. Let's say a man and a woman are really madly in love. You don't have to be madly in love anymore. You go to a bus stop, right? You know, you go to a public area, and you see two people necking. You know, like, come on. Like, it's out in public. As far as they're concerned, we're in love. There's nobody else around. And sometimes they, you know, go pretty far, like in public. You know, it's like, it's, you know. But, you know, but I'm just bringing the idea so you can understand. You can have two people say, you know, the heck with the rest of the world. I don't care, there's a million people. It's just me and you, dear. We love each other. Right? So what you can learn from that. If Hashem ever made you see it, don't think you're a bad person. Hashem wants you to learn something from seeing that. That's exactly how you should be, you know, Chas v'Shalom use the term, but feeling that close to Hashem. That when you're doing a mitzvah in public, let's say if a man has to be a chazan, or you're giving a class, or you're doing a challah demonstration, or you're giving tzedakah, you're doing whatever chasarim, you're all doing lots of chasarim, but you're at the highest level, is there's really nobody in the room. It's just me and Hashem. It's an empty place. That's all that's there. Now, of course, not ignoring people's feelings and things like that. But as far as you're concerned, you're so connected to Hashem, and your desire to do God's will doesn't leave room for anything else. I couldn't care about anything else. The most important thing is, what does Hashem want me to do here? And that's what you'll see later on in your prayers. In Pesukim and Zimri, beautiful, there's a prayer called Vayivorech David. He says, Vayivorech David, which you find it on page 74. That's when we stand up in the Pesuk of the Zirma. It says, Vayivorech David, es Hashem le'enei kol ha-kohol. David blessed God in front of the eyes of the whole congregation. And Rashi says, even though he was in front of the whole congregation, his whole intention was what? Just to bless Hashem. As far as he was concerned, nobody else was in the room. Now that's an unbelievable level. That's an unbelievable level. But you have to train yourself that I'm just, and that's the highest level. So one day maybe we'll get to that level. One day maybe I'll get to that level. Right now we have to just try. The mitzvahs I can conceal, I should conceal. The mitzvahs I can't, because I'll cancel. And I know the Yetzer is going to go full throttle to spoil this mitzvah. To get a little bit of ego enjoyment out of this, bad news. I could take the whole mitzvah and flush it down the drain. Because you got to remember, the main reward of a mitzvah is the internal feeling and not the external action. You could do mitzvahs all day long, your whole life, without any feeling. You will not go to Olam Haba, says the Chovos Avos. You will not go to Olam Haba. You'll get rewarded for every external, superficial mitzvah in this world, and you get nothing in the world to come. Only if you really feel and doing it for Hashem, those are the ones that have eternal value. So that's what we have to struggle with. And the Yetzer knows. He tries to stop him doing mitzvahs. So he'll take nice women like yourselves. We can't stop you guys from doing mitzvahs. You're powerhouses. You do mitzvahs. So he's going to get something you're not ready for. What's that? Take a little kovet when you're taking this mitzvah, please. If you take a little bit of kovet, you're going to lose your whole reward for it. So that's what we got to practice. So whenever you're doing a mitzvah in public, then that's what we say. The Olam Yehadam, always be a person who's Yorei Shemaim. What's Yorei Shemaim? Yorei Shemaim comes from the word Ra'at, to see. Always see Hashem. Not fear. See Hashem. See Hashem in public. See Hashem in private. Be honest with yourself. Tell yourself, am I doing it for Hashem or doing it for the honor? Always ask yourself that question. And if I was doing it, you know, somebody has a problem. And he's all alone. It's only you and him. I don't have time for him. But in front of 50 people, I'll have time for him. Oh, come here, I'll talk to you privately now. Let's have a talk. And the next morning, oh, I'm so tired. I was with that guy for 17 hours last night. You know? Or no, the person calls, you're alone at home. Can I come over? Nobody knows. And you say, sure, I'll come over and I'll help you. Right? So that's, you have to have the honesty. So we'll just leave one last thing. So he says, this is beautiful pshat in the story with Pinchas and Korach. Pinchas and when the prince of Reuven was of Shimon was doing the terrible immorality with the Midianite princess, right? That was going on when the Jews were acting immorally and there was big problems of intermarriage. So what happened is, it says Pinchas saw this. He said to Moshe, "Moshe, what's going on?" And the whole tribe of Shimon was doing terrible things. It was a big test and they failed the test. So the halacha is, if a Jewish man is fornicating with a non-Jewish woman, the halacha is, those who are jealous for God, kill them on the spot. That's the halacha. When you have a temple, that's the halacha. Says Moshe, isn't this the law? He says, yeah, that's the law. So what did Pinchas do? So it says, Vayokom mitoch ha'eda, he got up from the congregation, Vayikach romach b'yad, he took a spear in his hand, and he killed them both. So the question they ask is, why did he say he got up? So the answer is, because he knew he was doing a public mitzvah, and oh, is he so scared that I'm doing a public mitzvah? How do I know I'm doing it l'shem shemayim? And one thing we know for sure, if you're doing a mitzvah, and it's, like I said, if you're doing a mitzvah without the right intentions, we already said you're not getting olam haba for it. Can you imagine, would God ever do a miracle for you if you're doing it without the right intentions? If you're doing a mitzvah, that's going to need some godly help. If it doesn't have the right intentions, is God going to help you with it? Certainly not. He's not going to give you olam haba for it. He ain't going to help you. Pinchas, we know, needed 10 miracles. There were 10 miracles the Medrash talks about, that he was able to kill them at one time, kill them without them getting him back. The tribe of Shimon wanted to kill him and they weren't able to. There were 10 miracles God did, so this guy, he would be able to do this mitzvah. And you can imagine, this is in public now. The whole, what's going on? This Esrei and comes to sell it. I'm zealous for God. Maybe you're zealous for yourself. So that's what it says. Vayikach, vayokam mitoch ha'eda. He raised himself from outside, from amongst the congregation. I mean to say, he pretended like nobody was there. He asked himself, if nobody is here, would I still do this? That's what it means. He got up from the group. He took himself out. There's nobody in this room. Would I take my life at risk? And there'd be no newspapers saying how great I did. No photographers saying I did a big act for the community. Would I still do this? He asked himself that, and he said, as far as I'm concerned, there's nobody in this room. I'm only doing it for Hashem. And then Hashem did miracles for him. So we got to realize the sincerity and honesty that we have to have in all aspects of our avodas Hashem. And this is what makes prayer meaningful or not meaningful. You know, why you're praying to God, what you're praying to Hashem for, everything you're going to do from the day, your prayer sets the tone for the rest of the day. How you pray in the morning, that's how the rest of the day is going to be. So you can pray in a very insincere way. You're just saying words that have nothing, and you're saying it and it looks good, and if, especially a man has a much bigger problem because he's in a minyan and you're not. You have it a lot easier. But a man, you know, I pray, shuckle good, everything's wonderful, but inside there's nothing there, and then the rest of the day just continues that way. All right? So that's what we have to work on here. What still has to be explained is what's the concept of Yaakov and Yeshurun, what that means, and why we get this unbelievable self-esteem that we didn't talk about. And we'll see next week. It'll be our last class. Next week's the last class till after Pesach. Okay? Because Purim is coming up, and then me and Gail Mitchum will be in Eretz Yisrael for 2 weeks. And by the time we come back, it's 2 weeks before Pesach. I don't think anybody's going to be ready for classes. I don't think so. Next week will be the last class, and we'll discuss. We didn't discuss how this trait of Yaakov gives me the right self-esteem, and we'll see, once we see how you have that self-esteem, that will help you think of only the right thoughts for Hashem. That's what will all tie into that. Okay? Thank you very much. Have a good day.